fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio. It is Thursday night, and you know it's Thursday night. Why? Because Common Sense Radio is on the air. It's how you set your clocks, right? When you set them ahead or back, you set it every Thursday night based on Common Sense Radio coming to you at 8 p.m. from the FM Talk 106.5 studios, where we turn up your voice. And every week, you are astounded that we come to you with astonishing regularity, and we come crisp, we come clear, we come strong into your radio, whether you're in your truck radio or in your house radio, the one you have in the bathroom for whenever you spend time in there, or maybe it's your TuneIn radio app, or maybe you're streaming FMTalk1065.com somewhere across the fruited plain, maybe in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, or North Carolina, or wherever it is, and you go, how is this possible? This itty-bitty radio show emanating from a nondescript building in Mobile, Alabama. How does it reach out so far? It's because we have the highest paid, most award-winning engineer that money can buy. He can manipulate the system, and it doesn't matter. You can be in Timbuktu, and you can get this program because of our engineer, award-winning engineer, executive producer, co-host, all-around nice guy, and yes, ladies, he's still single, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. Kind words
yes,
always.
No.
I don't know what to say, but okay, thank you.
No, it completes my week, every week to do this. So, and as you could tell, we are a tad on the rowdy side and unsupervised, and that's because we are. We are unsupervised.
Unsupervised tonight. Woo!
We have no chaperone or adult supervision in the studio. Teresa Taylor is our other co-host and executive producer, is on assignment, so we look for her hopefully to come back next week. We miss you, Teresa, and hopefully we will not lose too many listeners tonight in your absence.
We'll attempt.
We will attempt
to be good.
This show, yes, on the road. Okay, there's lots of different things to go on. I want to hit a few things. One, first, that the because we hit a lot of times, I always try to, whenever there's terrorism or anything. Well, this one's really weird, the North Mexico massacre.
Hmm. Oh, yes.
Of women and children.
Yes.
From a Mormon sect that apparently moved into somewhere in North Mexico. I think it was 70 miles south of Douglas, Arizona.
Right.
That's a really bizarre story for people, and then obviously the cartels did it.
Yeah.
To go after women and children the way they did, even for drug lords,
yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So pray for those poor people, those poor families, but I have a feeling there's a lot more to this story than we know.
Well, you know, I'm not going to speculate, but I remember a show that used to be on WGN, the superstation, locally, they produced it. It's called Pure.
I don't remember that show.
And it's basically about Amish or Mennonite, and the criminal element of them bringing drugs into whatever Canadian town they were in. But
there was a
contingent in Mexico that helped.
Well, and so I don't know.
So I don't know.
Who knows what's going on? Because some of the stuff that's been speculated is that maybe they were having some sort of conflict.
Yeah, I don't.
With the cartels, but something pretty bad that they, I mean, it's one thing, hey, we're going to rough you up. But to do that, that meant somebody wanted to send a crazy message. A very strong message.
Yeah.
So, and that's just awful. And you know, really, I think Trump wanted to go to war in the Mexicans. Whoa, we don't know. You know what? I want to wake up tomorrow morning and read that there was some kind of incredible military strike where some cartel compound is now glass, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that to say, do that again and we're really going to come back. But that's just a fantasy, so that ain't going to happen.
Right, right.
But
You know, this country has talked about a war on drugs for decades. I mean,
well, that was
back,
a war
back in, you know, from the Reagan era on forward. You know, we've had this losing war on drugs,
losing
every day. And so, I mean, you know, if you really want to go to war, and I put air quotes around it, but if you want to take action, take action like you should take action, like our military should take action.
Right.
With the handcuffs removed from the politicians.
Yeah.
You know, war is not something that should be entered into lightly.
Nope.
And it should not be something that is, you know, just kind of
just a half-hearted effort or for show.
Exactly.
It really boils down to the same thing as self-defense.
Identify the goal.
Right.
Use every means possible to achieve that goal as quickly as possible,
right,
with the least amount of life lost.
Right.
And then get the HE doubles hockey sticks out of there and be done with it.
Look, it's like self-defense.
Yeah.
What do they teach? If you're going to pull your gun, you better be meaning to kill the person you pull the gun on.
Right.
Do not pull it as I'm going to pull my gun and drive. No.
No.
When I pull it, I'm killing you.
No brandishing allowed.
No brandishing allowed.
In the self-defense courses.
And it's the same
courses.
Thing. You don't brandish the military.
Right.
If we use them, you're dead.
Yeah.
Period.
That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
The way it should be.
So, but very
it's
awful.
It's very, very curious. It's
very curious and a shocking, heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. We had elections this week, which were sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Mississippi retained a Republican governor, but it was closer than a lot of people would have thought.
Right.
Not a big deal. A lot of people were talking about Virginia.
Virginia's blue.
Virginia is blue. And, you know, it's in that part of the country. It's becoming more and more urban. The urban populations are growing, and I don't know what it is.
Let's not forget that Northern Virginia is right there next to D.C.
It's all around D.C. I mean, and it's permeated by that cesspool flows out.
Right.
It's like leech lines from your septic tank. Well, it flows out into Virginia
and
Maryland.
There's commuters that work in D.C. that are part of the swamp and the—
Right, and they live in Northern Virginia. And for some reason,
Virginia.
Urbanization tends blue. I don't know what that is. But city folk tend blue. And it's in every city. Even in Texas, the cities are tending blue.
Yeah. You know, I kind of think, and I don't want to paint this with a broad brush and put everybody into little categories, but I tend to think that people who live in cities have so many things that are done for them as a matter of course, because you can't take care of your own garbage. You can't take care of your own sewage. You can't take care of getting your own water. You can't take care of growing your own food. You have to rely on, in many cases, government or government type of activities to pick up your garbage, to make sure your waste is disposed of properly, to make sure that the roads run.
You don't grow any food.
You don't grow any
food.
You've got to go to the store.
Right. And you may or may not have vehicles. You depend on public transportation or whatever.
So you're dependent on so many things that you think that's the way it's supposed to be. And you elect people who are going to tell you that they're going to give you more.
And
I think it just feeds into the way of living in a city, as opposed to somebody. I mean, even in the suburbs, a lot of people grow their own food or grow some of their food.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have gardens.
Yeah.
You know, you get further out into smaller towns, you got pigs and chickens running around the yard.
And but
you grow
in the city,
your own food. You've got a well or a septic tank, or
so you have to do things to maintain those things, to go get those things. You're self sufficient.
Right.
So I think
or more self sufficient.
Right. But I think that's the only thing that explains it. But the one thing I was going to point out in Virginia is the bar, apparently, though, to get a blue legislature was pretty low, because one of the new Virginia state senators is a convicted child molester. This guy actually spent time in prison for having sex with a teenage girl.
You gotta wonder.
And he got elected.
You gotta wonder what the electorate is thinking
how does that guy get elected?
I mean,
and guess what?
Is this because felons can vote now? I don't know.
or I guess Democrats don't care, because guess what? He's not a Republican.
Right.
He's not a Republican. And then the other one, a lot of people were – the media and a lot of folks have been making a lot of hay and propaganda about Kentucky's going blue because the governor, the incumbent Republican governor, Matt Bevin, the incumbent we think he lost. It's not over yet.
Right.
By about 5,000 votes. And he's contesting that because that's like 0.3%. It's less than a half percent.
It's a very slim
margin. And they're asking for a count. And so people go, oh, see, you know, because Trump went there and it was wearing off. But folks, you got to get the whole story. The whole story is that the Republicans in Kentucky swept all statewide seats except the governor.
Right.
They elected a black Republican attorney general. So they swept all the seats. And now I don't really know the details, and this just started coming out, but apparently that Republican governor is just not popular.
No,
he's like a jerk. People don't like him.
No, you're right. I have relatives that still live in Kentucky, and they have never been a fan.
Yeah, I mean, they might like Republicans, but they don't like him. And I read one thing that said that actually Trump got him 5 or 6 points. He would have lost by 5 or 6 points. He wouldn't be this close if Trump hadn't even gone there. So don't let the propaganda tell you that the blue wave is turning and all that. Don't listen to all that crap.
Right.
And then the other story that's out there that's kind of – are we on the break?
We're coming close to it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to this story. How about the revelation of old Project Veritas got out there and found out that there was a star reporter at ABC that over 3 years ago had all the goods on Epstein, a whole story, an expose, and they spiked it with witnesses and good evidence, and they spiked it. Just think about that. They had nothing on Kavanaugh and went crazy trying to bring down Kavanaugh. They didn't spike those stories, you know, talking to people who – I don't remember when or where it was, right? But this other story, they actually had witnesses to remember where and when. And I think some of them had pictures, right?
Right.
We're not going to run that story.
No, yeah.
Because what was going on 3 years ago? Hillary was running for president.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been embarrassing for her and Bill. But anyway, look, we will be right back with your calls at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And look, if you all are looking for a church home, let me tell you what you need to check out. You need to check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. That's 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. It's just south of I-10 and north of Highway 90 down in Theodore. It is a wonderful, Bible-loving, Bible-teaching Baptist Church. They've got a great conservative preacher there, Brother Ganella, who will teach you with God's word as it was intended. He's not going to give you the propaganda, the new age stuff, the feel good stuff. It's God's word as it was intended, as it was written. And you will find a wonderful, warm, loving congregation that will welcome you, and you will have wonderful fellowship there. You really got to check them out this Sunday. Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road. They've been doing it for 150 years. 150 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You got to be doing something right if you still got a good, thriving congregation after 150 years. So check out Magnolia Springs Baptist Church at 6058 Theodore Dawes Road this weekend, this Sunday. All right. We just led into about the ABC. Isn't that incredible? They had a well-researched, one of their reporters did in journalism, had witnesses, had evidence, coaxed victims to come forth and be interviewed, which had, they said one of the victims had been hiding for 12 years, and they got her to interview. And they, from what I read, they had like pictures, they had everything. This is 3 years ago, which would have been during the 2016 election.
Right.
ABC News refused to give it the light of day.
Wow.
Now you think about, and I'm really bringing, which is a travesty in itself, because this guy went on for another 3 years doing what he was doing, which was criminal and horrid. But you've got to understand the double standard. Because a year ago, think about how flimsy the evidence, or not even the evidence. There was no evidence.
There was no
the
evidence.
The allegations.
Right.
The flimsy allegations, no evidence. And a couple of witnesses that come forward and say they can't remember anything, and ABC, along with the other alphabet soup networks, went crazy trying to take down Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Right, yeah.
So you got to ask yourself, they've got to have an agenda. They have to have a bias. They have to be on another team.
And anybody who has any measure of common sense at all knows that there's an agenda with the mainstream media. We see evidence of it every single day.
So it's crazy, and it's it'll drive you out there. And then there's another development. God, I can't think of the guy's name. You know the coroner. Thank you, coroner. He was on the medical doctor. Who was on Fox a lot, the older guy.
I don't
you know the guy I'm talking
name,
about?
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Well, he reviewed the autopsy.
Right.
And he came out and said, well, none of this looks consistent with suicide. This looks consistent with homicide.
Yeah.
He said, in my 40 years, I've never seen an autopsy like this that came out to the conclusion of suicide.
Right.
And then, if y'all been watching social media, it's just blown up. I mean, you see all sorts of memes, and at the end it said, "And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself." I mean, it could be about grammar. It could be about how you plant your tomatoes.
Right.
Or it could be how you train your dogs. But at the end of it, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't, or the one who was on the moon. You know, here's the plaque they put on the moon when they walked on the moon and said, you know, in 19 something something, these guys walked on the moon, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I know, it's crazy, but that's not over. But think about this too. Until this just recently, the last couple weeks.
That's probably so that the social media companies won't block that post.
Right, they bury it down.
They bury it down at the bottom.
I didn't think about that. But they're trying to beat the algorithms.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
See how smart
people
are.
So we talk about the moon landing. We talk about, you know, how to train your dog. We talk about this and that and the other. And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Right.
At the very bottom, in little tiny letters
And that's how they beat the algorithms.
That skip through the algorithm.
I love that. Because think about it.
Just a thought.
The most high profile political prisoner in the United States supposedly kills himself a couple of months ago in a high security prison where no one that's designed to not allow suicide, no one's ever killed themselves there.
Right.
And this guy's able, the first time in 40 years, kill himself in a prison designed to be suicide proof. And by coincidence, the two guards that night were falling asleep. And I'm going to tell you, they probably can't be found right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
those
mm-hmm.
guys are probably sleeping with the fishes by now. Because nobody knows where they're at.
Or paid off well and are living in some tropical paradise.
They're living in wherever.
Right.
You know, in Diego Garcia somewhere, wherever it is, they're gone. And oh, by the way, all the sophisticated cameras, darn, that one in that cell didn't work.
It failed.
And then all these coincidences, and for 2 months, what have you heard about it? Nothing. Nothing. So, but social media is keeping it alive. Social media is keeping it alive.
Yep.
Hey, there's a lot of stuff that you don't get if you're from the mainstream media, because I got all these fantastic headlines and everybody's just, oh, impeachment about this, impeachment about that, and Trump did this, and Trump insulted. So, I mean, it's just, you never get into the news. Did you read anywhere that China and the United States actually have a tentative agreement? A first phase agreement on trade, and they're going to start rolling back some tariffs?
Well, actually, Fox does send me, you know, email.
So you get some of the
headlines. So, I see the headlines come through, and if I want to click on a story, I can.
So if you dig down in it, you get past all of the kabuki theater, you see,
When I see an email from Fox Fox News or Fox Business or something like that, I can, you know, kind of look at the headline there and say, oh, okay, well, that's worth looking at a little closer.
But there's good news. Like, you know, do they make big news about that the jobless claims are way lower than they expected? And so that's why the stock market's up again. I know they keep talking, oh, the recession coming, oh, blah, blah, blah. And there may be a slight slowdown, but so far there's a lot of resilience in this economy.
My 401k is doing extremely well. I'm glad to see that. The stock market is doing well. We all know that that stock markets, you know, the Dow Jones, the S&P, it goes up, you know, and we like it when it keeps going up.
But
some point it's going to level off. There's going to be a drop, a correction. I mean, that's part of the cycle.
That's part of it, how it
prepare
seeks
for it,
equilibrium.
You know, think about it. You know, we've got another sponsor you'll talk about later that'll help you hedge against that.
But
you know, it's one of those things that we're in a very very long period of prosperity,
right?
And the stock market is growing. People are working. Wages are up.
Exactly.
And happy days are here again. Thank you, Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, there you go, Herbert Hoover, or Donald Trump. And you know, with all and you see nonstop negative media coverage of the president. It is nonstop. So you're either seeing stories about how he screwed something up, or he's been mean or bad, or impeachment, how they're going to get him. But isn't it funny that in all of this, Rasmussen just came up and Trump's approval rating is at 50 again. Way higher than Obama was at this point in his presidency. That despite a incessant negative onslaught, he's at 50. But you know what's really going to push him up over 50? He's going to be at the Alabama LSU game on Saturday.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Now, that's going to suck for the people of the game, kind of, because all the security and the traffic.
Oh, it's tight enough in the...
getting in and out. But you know what? For all of us watching, it's going to be great.
Yes,
the president's going to be there. Yep. Trump's going to be in Alabama, the state that loves him the most. So there is a lot of good news. There's lots more to come. We got to talk about the column coming up. We got to talk about local politics. There's annexation. And, oh, my goodness, Jeff Sessions is going to run for Senate.
It certainly appears like that.
We're going to talk about all of it.
Yep.
So we'll be right back with your texts and calls at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. At the bottom of the hour, we have a special sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. They come aboard to sponsor the Reagan quote. And ABC Signs and Shirts, that's your headquarters for custom-made dry-fit shirts. Could be shirts for your family reunion, your sports team, your employees, or a political slogan, whatever it is. Or you want promotional materials, you want custom-made signs, banners, anything. Anything you want, promotional materials from signs, banners, shirts, you need to go to abcsigns.biz, or abcshirts.biz, or give them a call at 877-744-6750, and they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president. And I'll have to read it tonight because I couldn't find an audio. Too often, character assassination has replaced debate in principle here in Washington. Destroy someone's reputation, and you don't have to talk about what he stands for. Short and simple. Don't know when he said it, but it's attributed to him widely.
Very prophetic.
Very prophetic. I know I've used it before in the last 8 or 9 years, how long we've been doing this. But I picked it tonight because it goes with what's going on in Washington. It goes with this week's column that you can find in the Call News, the Tri-City Ledger, the Washington County News, or the Post up in Center Alabama. And that is, Democrats cry wolf, but the whistleblower was a weasel.
Okay.
And the whole point is, since...
I think you needs to be renamed, because I don't know if you would want to insert weasels like that, but...
I know, it's an insult to the weasels. But the point is, the Democrats, since he was elected, since the day he won the election, have been crying wolf about what he will do, all the terrible things he would do from just being in the orange meanie, right, to, you know, whether it's abortion rights or whatever. Oh, it's going to be so terrible. And then we got onto the Russia hoax for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was all planned out. I mean, have you heard what the whistleblower, air quotes, attorney has?
Yeah, the whistleblower's attorney tweeted
out comments and tweets.
His tweets were like, in 2017, the coup has begun.
Yeah.
Well, we see it. Yeah, we do. You're right.
Exactly.
And so,
thank you for acknowledging what we have known since day one.
Since day one, and that's all this has been is an attempt to remove the president because they can't beat him, and that's where the quote comes in. Character assassination, because they can't beat him on the policies. They can't beat him at the polls. So they've got to smear him. They got to besmirch him to see if they can damage him enough that you will either stay home or change your vote because he's just mean. He's nasty because they've assassinated his character. And so the column goes to they keep crying wolf about he did this. It was the Russian wolf. Now it's the Ukrainian wolf.
Right.
And what we're finding out now, and this is why the whistleblower is a weasel, because we keep saying, oh, we got to protect the whistleblower. The whistleblower is a leaker. He's a plant.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a spy.
And look, you know, and this is why Schiff doesn't want him testifying, because if he's in under oath in front of committee, the Republicans have a chance to question him.
Right, cross-examination.
They're going to want to know, when did he meet with Schiff's people?
Right.
What? Because there was never any mention about quid pro quo until after a meeting with Schiff and his people.
Right.
That's when quid pro quo came about.
This was all concocted. Look, they've determined they're going to impeach the president because they think that's how they are going to try to keep him from being reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is impeachment to keep him from being reelected. That's the goal. That's the strategy.
Right.
Now, why they impeach him? Oh, we just need a reason, and this one sounds good. We're trying to hold it together.
Right. Impeach him, remove him. Pence is the president. Pence pardons for whatever any crimes he may have been committed, any or all crimes, and appoints him as vice president. Pence resigns.
Right.
Trump is president again, but I think according to the rules, he now is able to move forward with additional terms because he didn't serve out 8 years.
Well, he's got to have the limit's 10. The limit's 10. But
I'm just pulling out, that one is a stretch.
but this whole thing, when you look at the guy who's the whistleblower, folks, is supposed to be somebody who's in the government who sees a crime or an abuse of power,
right?
Like embezzling money.
Right.
Using government assets for your own personal gain or whatever. I saw it. Hey, you know that the guy's putting money in his pocket or he's paying his own electric bill with county money, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be able to come and be protected from retribution, meaning he won't be fired. He won't be demoted.
But he is not protected from anonymity.
Right.
That's the thing. He's not protected from anonymity.
That's not in there.
By the statute.
And it's also... Look, if we're getting down to as serious that you think you're going to remove a sitting president, the will of the people, I think you need to know everything about this situation. So you need to know who this guy is. His name is Eric Ciarmello. And it turns out he's a CIA analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And very interesting, this CIA analyst worked for Susan Rice.
Yes.
Worked directly with Brennan.
Yes.
He was appointed to the vice president Biden when Biden was working, was point man on who?
Ukraine.
Ukraine. When he was going to Ukraine a dozen times. Who was his CIA analyst? Eric Ciarmello was his guy.
Look, if there was ever a quid pro quo with Ukraine, it was Biden when he said, I'm taking the $1 billion back home unless you fire the prosecutor.
Is that more obvious than that? And he even said it.
Obama says, I can have the money. Well, you call him if you don't believe me. Call him. Find out.
You're
I'm taking the money home or he gets fired.
So this guy, and guess what? Guess who he worked with? he worked with the DNC operative Alexandra Chalupa. You've never heard of her. What was her job for DNC? Opposition research. She was one of the ones who put together the information for the dossier. That dossier that started the fight. He met with her. He had worked with her before. He knew her. And then this is the part that really aggravates you. Somehow he was loaned over to the White House as a CIA analyst, and he was in the Obama White House.
Mm-hmm.
And when Trump took over, they didn't get rid of him.
Yeah,
he was a Obama holdover CIA analyst in the White House. Because, hey, you're supposed to think that's not a political appointment. This is a career CIA analyst. He's just doing his job, right?
Yeah.
They got rid of him in June of 2017. Why? Because he was leaking information from the White House, folks. This wasn't a whistleblower. It was a CIA plant and a spy. Do you remember in when he fired Comey and for a while out in the news, they said, well, that's because Putin told him to do it.
Yeah.
Remember they made a deal. Right. It was a flash for a few days. Oh, Putin told him to fire Comey, blah, blah, blah. You know where that came from? Eric Charmello leaked it because they had had a phone call with Putin. There's no evidence or discussion that they even discussed Comey, but he had a phone call with Putin like the day before he fired Comey. So he leaked it and made it, put it in the context that, oh, and he had a fire, you know, gets off the phone with Putin and fires Comey.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff like that. This guy is not a whistleblower. He is a spy, a CIA plant. He is a registered Democrat. Mm-hmm. He is a partisan. That's why they're trying to hide this guy. And you said it. He colluded with Schiff and his staff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are going to – all they want to do is impeach the president. And right. They're just trying to get a veneer of credibility. So when they have the vote, say, yeah, we got the articles and we have no evidence. We don't really have a case, but we're going to vote for it anyway.
Right.
We just want to have enough veneer to give the media enough that they can cover us,
right.
Which they will.
Exactly.
And that's all that this is about. And so that's why the Reagan quote, character assassination, you don't have to actually talk what they stand for or what they did. And you just do the impeachment. So mm-hmm. go check it out. It's just so aggravating that they're doing all of this crap. And like you said, you brought out this attorney was part of it. He tweeted the coup has started all the way back in 2017. But the Senate has already come out. I think Lindsey Graham has said it. McConnell has said it. Go ahead, get it done and send it over here because we're going to acquit him post haste.
Yeah. Right.
It's going
to
be done. And this will be so. Let's get this over. Let's stop the shenanigans. We don't need any hearings. Have the vote.
See, they,
impeach him. Send it to the Senate.
They
be
don't
done.
Want to do that. They want to drag this out
yeah.
as long as they can milk it for headlines long enough to get it into 2020.
Right.
So that they can continue to churn this ridiculousness
yes.
and have it impact the election.
It's crazy.
To their advantage, they hope.
They're trying to impact the election, but really, and this is where I think the backlash comes, it's going to be a frivolous exercise.
Mm-hmm.
People are seeing through it. You really don't have anything, but you have caused great turmoil in this country.
Yeah.
You are tearing the country apart with this nonsense
right.
day in and day out, and you're not doing your job. They're not doing it.
They're not doing it.
The Democrats in their 2 years controlling the House have done
nothing.
No meaningful legislation, nothing on immigration, nothing on infrastructure, nothing on health care. You name it, they've done nothing. The only thing they did was the prison reform.
Well, that was
which
that
was Trump's
that was
deal.
Trump.
So. And which is something Democrats like. Trump did it, and they got on board. That's the only thing they've done. And they didn't do it. Trump did it.
Trump did it.
They just let
right.
it go through. So yeah. they've done nothing, and I think there's going to be a backlash from the people when they look and they go, really? Y'all have wasted our time with this junior high BS. Of, oh, he did it. No, he did it. No, he. And, yeah. and see, that's what's so aggravating about it. They come in and say, you stole something. Well, no, I didn't. It's still right there. I never took it. I never put – you stole it. No, I didn't touch it. You stole it. No matter – and it doesn't matter. They're going to keep saying that.
Yeah.
That's maddening.
It is.
It is maddening, and they're driving – and seeing this is where the people are getting beyond all trying to analyze all this stuff. You're just going to go, look, I'm a Republican or a conservative. I go with Trump. I'm a Democrat. I go against him, and which is just absolutely ridiculous. All right, we got to get into also the other there's other election news around there. Biden is fading. He's not going to make it. We've talked about that. And I can tell you Warren is sort of rising, but Wall Street and the billionaire Democrats have warned the Democrat Party that if Warren wants too much money, her taxes are, they're willing to pay
too
more,
much.
But it's too much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If Warren is the president, they're not coming. So watch this. You know that there's a problem because she's betting her entire presidency on Medicare for all and how she's going to soak the rich some more. And the rich are saying no. And do you know how that's not going to work? Because Hillary has attacked it. Hillary has come out and said,
who hasn't she attacked?
She has come out and said, Warren's Medicare for all is not going to work. Now, you got to think about that. Why would she say that? There's only one reason.
Because she's going to run. Because
she's going to run. She's getting in. Bloomberg's talking about they know the clown car is about to crash. It's going to go over the cliff. And all of the Democrat candidates are going to be in a burning, flaming wreck at the bottom of the cliff. Bloomberg's coming in. You watch Hillary, what she's saying. She's running. By the way, so is Jeff Sessions. More on that when we get back. 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Look, Monday is Veterans Day, and there is a bunch of Veterans Day activities. And actually, the first one starts Sunday at 2 p.m. at Mobile Memorial Gardens is the annual Flags of Glory, which sort of kicks off the Veterans Day celebrations. It is a nice little program. Former Mayor Mike Dow, who's also a Vietnam veteran, will be the guest speaker. And it will be at 2 p.m. on Three Notch Road at Mobile Memorial Gardens. A nice Flags of Glory commemorating to all of our veterans. Nice little program. There's some music. Mike Dow, former Mayor Mike Dow, is a speaker. Great. Come out. The MC is some kind of goofy guy. You get to meet him. But come out. It's a lot of fun. Mobile Memorial Gardens, 2 p.m. this Sunday. Then Monday morning, 06:30 at the Battleship at the Vietnam Memorial. There will be a flag raising
right
at the Vietnam Memorial. You don't want to miss this. Downtown Mobile, 10 a.m. It is free. The annual Mobile Bay Area Veterans Day Parade
right
is at 10 a.m. It's free. It goes all through downtown. It comes around Claiborne to Canal to Broad to Dolphin to Washington to Government to Claiborne and back. Great parade, free. 70-plus units of military, veterans, Boy Scouts, other local American Legion, VFW. Everybody's going to be in it. 70-plus units. Come out. Bring the kids to see how we honor and recognize our veterans. And this year for Veterans Day, the Veteran of the Year is Bill Atkinson, who happens to be a Army, was served in the Army and a Vietnam veteran. Been a great volunteer and activist in the Mobile veterans community for decades now.
Right.
Done all sorts of great things. And then the Patriots of the Year for Mobile Bay Area are all Vietnam-era veterans. Will be
excellent.
Honored. So if you are a Vietnam-era veteran, you don't have to have served in combat or have actually served in Vietnam, but served in the military during the period of the Vietnam War, you are eligible for a commemorative medallion.
Excellent.
And you don't have to. And there's a lunch at Fort Whiting on Monday at noon. You don't have to be there to get it, but you can go to our Facebook page or you can go to the Veterans Day Commission page, a website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little application. You fill it in, and you can get your medallion for your service, or you have a loved one, you got a father, a grandfather, an uncle who may not know about it, and you want to make sure he gets recognized or she gets recognized, and they get their commemorative medallion, a very handsome medallion that they can wear for special occasions for all Vietnam-era veterans. Go check this out. You don't have to be there to get it Monday. Another way to get it is contact any of your local veteran service organizations, American Legion, VFWs, the Vietnam Veterans Association, mm-hmm. any of those locally, contact them. They know how to get you the medal.
Right.
You need to get that. Honor those veterans, those Vietnam veterans. And the parade Monday is for them. Lunch at Fort Whiting at noon. There is a program at the battleship where all area fourth graders come and learn about Veterans Day and read their little there's a little essay contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is also at 7 p.m. at the battleship, a patriotic concert by the Mobile Symphonic Pops.
Oh, excellent.
So all of this is on Monday. You need to go check all of that out. Don't forget. Go check that out on Monday.
And programming note, Sean and Dalton will be at the parade route with Mobile Mornings on Monday. And FM Talk 106.5 is going to be broadcasting throughout the weekend and on Monday a program from Fisher House. It's called In Their Own Words. And you'll hear stories and information.
Great stuff.
And Fisher House, for those of you that may not know, is we like to describe it as Ronald McDonald House, what they do for children and families.
They do it for veterans.
Fisher House does that same thing for veterans and veteran families.
And military and all that.
When they're on, you know, receiving medical care at some hospital, the families can stay in a Fisher House and be close to their
To be close. Because that's loved ones. When you have those kind of injuries, it takes a long time to recover.
It's
a long, long road. Okay, so I will be at the parade. There's 2 days a year I wear a uniform. I will be wearing a uniform on Monday if it fits. So come out to the parade and see if any buttons fly.
Right.
So there you go on that. All right. Back to local politics. Unbelievably, tomorrow is the deadline to qualify for the primaries, both Republican and Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And unbelievably, sort of out of the blue, rumors started coming the last week or so, Jeff Sessions is going to file to run for his old seat again.
It certainly appears that way, doesn't it?
Well, apparently he was on Fox News tonight and said it. I saw that he was on Tucker Carlson.
Was it tonight that he said it?
I think it was tonight.
Was it tonight? Okay.
I saw some tweets going out that it was tonight that he said it.
Okay.
And I guess he's going to file tomorrow. That is certainly going to be interesting because you have Bradley Byrne, who's announced back in like February.
Right.
He's been running all year, not running for his old seat. Tommy Tuberville is in it. John Merrill, the Secretary of State.
Right.
Judge Roy Moore is in it.
Yep.
And there's another guy.
There's another guy, too.
I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
That's not good for his campaign that we don't know his name. That's really bad, dude. But sorry. But I don't know how y'all feel about it. I have great respect for Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
And I still have a lot of regard for him as a person and as a servant for this state. But look, his time as Attorney General was very disappointing. And it was a good thing that he got out of there. Especially if you're watching what Attorney General Barr is doing, it's kind of like, what's the excuse?
He may have been just too good of a person to fill that position.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but too dirty,
or maybe it was too mean. It was too, you had to just be too hard on other people. I don't know what it was. God bless him, but he did 20 years in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, even though people of Alabama have a high regard for him, I feel bad for him because I don't think he's going to win his old seat back. And I'm not even sure he gets in a runoff. I think he's going to be shocked and stunned at how poorly he does.
Yeah, initial polls put him at the top, but that can fade pretty
quick. I don't
think
he's going to go up.
Yeah.
He's going to go down.
Yeah.
All right, folks, happy Veterans Day. Don't forget all those events. Get out there to see them. Don't forget the parade Monday at 10 a.m. downtown Mobile. Honey, it's time to come home.